Hey everyone, this is Jillian, and thanks for tuning in to today's case update. As you may remember, in episode 17, I covered the case of Christy Mack and War Machine, aka Jonathan Copenhaver. As a refresher, War Machine, a former MMA fighter, was convicted in March 2017 after beating his ex-girlfriend, Christy Mack, and her friend, Corey Thomas. War Machine had gone to Christy's home in the middle of the night and had physically attacked her and Corey, who had been sleeping next to her. He was found guilty of 29 counts, including battery constituting domestic violence, kidnapping, and sexual assault. During the trial, Christy Mack and Corey Thomas both testified against their attacker, and their accounts of what had happened were pretty brutal. Now, before we get started, just a quick note. You may wonder why I continue calling him War Machine, his mixed martial arts name. And that's because War Machine is his actual name. He legally changed it from Jonathan Copenhaver to War Machine. And given what he's been convicted of, I actually think that using War Machine is pretty appropriate. Well, as I said earlier, we have an update in the case. So if you haven't listened to episode 17 yet, you might want to do that before listening to this update. War Machine was sentenced on Monday, June 5th, 2017. But before we get into what his actual sentence was, I want to recap what went on during the sentencing hearing. First, War Machine's defense team had filed a number of motions, including one for a new trial. They were trying to claim that War Machine had been unconscious during the attack due to a prior brain injury. His attorney, Jay Lederman, called it a blind rage and told the court that he didn't have enough time to prepare that defense for trial, and so War Machine deserves a new trial. But as it turns out, under the Nevada statute, the defense was supposed to file their motion within 7 days of the verdict, and they didn't. Lederman told the judge that he wasn't aware of the 7-day deadline, and that he assumed that because he brought up the fact that they were going to file the motion after the trial, and because the judge had told him to file it later, that meant he could file it at a later date. And Lederman was adamant that his motion for a new trial has merit. He said, "There's no need to continue with sentencing because these motions are on point." The judge ultimately decided that there was no evidence that War Machine was unconscious when he was beating Christy and Corey. As the prosecutor said, he was talking to his victims during the attack, and their expert at trial didn't find any injury that would have made him unconscious. So Judge Alyssa Kadish denied the motion. War Machine wouldn't be getting a new trial, at least not now. Then they moved on to sentencing. Prosecutor Jacqueline Bluth opened by saying that she doesn't give a damn who War Machine and Christy Mack are, as far as their celebrity, and she doesn't care whether there's one camera in the room or 50. She said they should be treated the same as anyone else. She said what she does care about is Christine McInday and Jonathan Copenhaver and what happened in those 15 months of their relationship. She told the judge that there were two questions in front of her today. And those questions are, what is just in this case? And how can we make sure that it doesn't happen again? She then talked about Christy herself.
And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Christy, if I could. When I first was assigned this case, you know, we don't get to pick our cases, our cases pick us. And when this file first came across my desk, I didn't know who either of these individuals were. And so I read the arrest report and I set up a pretrial conference with Ms. McInday, which is what we do in every case. And I didn't know who I would be meeting. And she walked in and she was just this very tiny, it was only 2 weeks after it happened. She was this very tiny, frail human being. Her eyes were black. Part of her tooth was cracked. Her lip was basically split open. Her hair had been chopped off of her head. And when she spoke, I could barely hear her. She was almost like a mouse. It was like she had been beaten both physically and emotionally. And the pain was so real and so raw for her that it was a very, very difficult meeting for her. And she's not who the media sometimes portrays her to be. She's very shy. She's very quiet. She's a homebody. She's very witty, and she's very sincere. And there would be times during pretrials where I would get something wrong, and I'd let me give an example would be, okay, and so then he punched you in the face. And she would say, no, he has never, ever punched me in the face until the night in question. And to me, that brought so much credibility to her because, you know, she could have said, he punched me, he kicked me, he did all those things. And she always corrected me whenever I got anything wrong. Besides telling me the things that he did to her, she never spoke ill of him. This has been a hard road for her. There's been a lot of backlash, and I don't pay much attention to social media, but it would be things like, and I apologize for the language I'm about to use, but I think it's important to understand, you know, what victims go through. This victim, there would be things like, we wish you would have died, you deserved it, and all these awful names and things that they would call her. And there's a lot of pain that she's never even dealt with because she just doesn't want to talk about it. You know, it's too personal. And like I said, it's too raw. You know, she had to come in here, not just in trial, but before, and talk about very, very personal things, stuff that, you know, the jury didn't even hear about, but it doesn't matter. It didn't mean she didn't have to come in here and talk to you about it and talk to us about it. And I remember a specific day when she said, you know, she got teary and she said, this is hard. I just don't know how many more times I can keep reliving this and keep going through this. And I turned to her and I said, look, if there is one little girl out there watching this, whether she sees it in the newspaper or she sees it on those cameras, if there is one little girl that you can save out there from getting in this type of relationship or getting her mom out of it, you can do it. This is bigger than you. And she sucked it up and she did it.
Prosecutor Bluth said that before the trial, they had a meeting with War Machine about a potential plea deal. They had offered him 16 years to life, or 18 to 40 years. And after the meeting, Bluth called Christy and told her about it. She said Christy paused and then said, well, at least I'll know I have 16 more years to live. That's her reality, Bluth said. That's what she has to live with. Bluth told the judge that she does believe that War Machine is genuinely sorry for what he's done. She described an interaction she had with him during the trial.
There was a point in the trial when, I'm not sure where Mr. Sewell was, but I think Mr. Lederman was in the courtroom doing something, and it was just Anthony and Jonathan and I. And Mr. Copenhaver said, Ms. Bluth, can I speak to you for a moment? And I was standing here marking exhibits, and he said, I want to tell you that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way that I've treated you, and I'm sorry for some of the things I've been disrespectful to you, and I apologize. And I believe him. I believe that he's sorry. I believe that he's sorry for the things that he has done. The problem is you have to balance it with, but are you sorry enough to stop? And that's where it gets hard. It's good to be sorry. It's wonderful to be sorry. But are you sorry enough to make a change and make it stop?
Bluth said that the biggest predictor in that is looking at history. She said that 83 letters had been sent to the judge on behalf of War Machine, and that the state had read them too. Bluth said that reading the letters from his siblings about how bad their childhood was broke her heart, and that it makes her sick that he lived like that as a child. But, she said, at the end of the day, people go through really crappy childhoods, and they still don't do the things that War Machine did. Then Bluth went into detail about War Machine's violent history, including alleged violence to his own family. She said he had struck his stepfather numerous times, and that one time his mother had called the police and told them that War Machine was at their home and that he wasn't supposed to be. She told them that they would need to bring a lot of backup because they wouldn't be able to handle him by themselves. She also said she didn't want War Machine to know that she had called the police, so she asked them to lie and say that they were there for a follow-up. Another time, his mom called the police and told them that War Machine had threatened to kill his stepfather if he didn't drop the charges against him. She said he was angry lately and had made comments that he had wanted to kill someone, that he would find someone on the street and strangle them. She pointed out that these instances with his family was before MMA, before he had received any blows to his head, and that he's been like this for a while. The defense objected to Bluth's statements, saying that there was more to the story in each of the situations, and that all charges were dropped each time. Bluth responded that she had the police reports, and she entered them into evidence. Bluth continued. She said that in 2002, War Machine served 30 days in jail for obstructing a police officer. In 2007, he attacked a guy and rendered him unconscious. He was arrested and convicted of assault with a deadly weapon and put on probation. In February 2009, he assaulted two guys outside of a nightclub, and one of them had to have multiple surgeries to recover. In another case, he pled no contest to battery domestic violence for attacking a woman. And in March 2010, War Machine got into another fight while at a bar in San Diego. And when security tried to break it up, War Machine then attacked security. He was charged with three counts of assault with a deadly weapon, pled guilty, and was given probation. And while on probation for that, is when he attacked Christy Mack and Corey Thomas.
When I was going back and forth, you know, on what would be the proper recommendation, that's one hell of a history. It's a lot of victims and a lot of pain and a lot of counseling. You know, I was going through those and it's like probation, anger management, domestic violence, so much rehabilitation and so many opportunities to change and to do what's right. And I read through all of the letters, and one letter that, you know, really struck me is the prior juror in our case who was on the veneer, who has now become a pen pal with the defendant. She says that, you know, she's a domestic violence advocate and worked with domestic violence victims, yet she's never once, ever reached out to Christine McAday. And she writes to Your Honor, I'd ask you to weigh the benefits of a longer-term sentence to appease the DA and the media. First of all, Your Honor doesn't give a crap about the media, appeasing the media and appeasing the DA. That's offensive to me that she would even think that you would consider those things. And it's offensive to me that she thinks I give a crap about the media. This is about what's right and what's just. I'm not going to ask you to sentence him to prison for the rest of his life. He faces a life without, and quite honestly, I think there's a lot of judges in this courthouse that might do that. I'm not asking you for that. Obviously, he has to serve a mandatory life sentence because he's charged with and convicted of life sentences. But what we have to do, judges, we have to make sure that there aren't any more Steve Millers or Corey Thomases or Darren Kozats. And never, ever again should there be another Christine McAday.
Bluth recommended 32 years to life. Then War Machine got up to speak.
Not a day goes by that I don't seriously regret a lot of these things that I did. I was a very, very lost, very empty person. And to top it off, something's not right with my head. Plain and simple. And I've known that a long time. And I've hated it. I hated the way that I think. I hated my impulses. Half the time, I don't even know why I do some of the things I do. And some of the time, I do things I don't even realize I did them until it's already done and it's too late. And really, it caused me to hate myself. I hated myself.
War Machine said he hates himself and that the people who want to come into the courtroom and say how horrible he is are irrelevant because of how much he hates himself. He said he used to stand in front of the mirror and smash his face in. That's how much he disliked himself. He said that it was a sick form of therapy, the only thing that he could do to prevent himself from killing himself. He said while being in solitary confinement, his self-hate and remorse grew and grew. He said he should be in the dirt right now, next to Aaron Hernandez. But he read two books that saved his life, and he has since given his life to God.
For the first time in my entire life, it's brought me peace inside. Like true inner peace, and it's amazing. And it's changed everything. It's changed absolutely everything for me. And it's helped me to remove my self-hate. It's given me the ability to manage my depression and my anxiety. And the peace that I have now from it even allows me, it gives me the opportunity to finally slow down and be able to step back and be able to finally manage whatever the hell's going on in my head.
He then spoke about his remorse, but said in a way, he's glad it happened, that this was what he needed.
I hate that this happened. I hate that I had to hurt the woman that I love. I hate that I had to hurt my family, my teammates. You know, I hate that I had to ruin my career for this to happen. But it's been the greatest blessing in my life. It truly has. It's helped me to, it's enabled me to begin to grow into a real man. And it's really just changed me completely. And I, you know, whatever, no matter what happens in this case or in the future, no matter where I end up, I'm just glad that I finally have woken up and seen the truth. And I really believe that I'm going to be able to be a good role model, and I'm going to be able to help people wherever I end up. And the rest of my life, I know I'm going to be able to help people. But that's all I want to say. Thank you.
War Machine's attorney, Jay Lederman, then spoke. He said that after a year of being in custody, War Machine's life has changed profoundly. He called it a genuine conversion and said that War Machine has given himself over to Christ. He said War Machine recognizes now how much he hated women, largely because of his mother. He said he gets that now, and that's not something he had ever said before. Lederman told the judge, I don't know the old John, but I know the new John, and he's a genuine person. He said that he sees no problem with the judge imposing the minimum sentence, 16 years to life. He then played a video of War Machine's mom in court. She was crying, saying that she loves her son so much, and then she talked about his dad's death and how that affected them. Then it was time for victim impact statements. Corey Thomas went first. Corey said he doesn't have anything to say about the defendant himself, that he doesn't know the guy. He said he does have a friend that he went to high school with, Matt, who was the general manager at that bar in San Diego where War Machine got into that fight. He said War Machine beat up two patrons, and when security asked him to leave, he then attacked security, including Corey's friend Matt. While Matt was knocked down to the ground, War Machine kept hitting him and knocked out some of his teeth. He said that when the news broke about War Machine beating up him and Christy, his friend Matt contacted him and told him that he had been attacked by War Machine too. Corey said the defendant does have a history of violence. He said whether it comes from a bad home or what, he can't say, but he said that he has friends who had horrible childhoods and who ended up becoming NFL football players. He said, bad circumstances don't always make for bad people. He said he flew over 20 hours to be there for the sentencing, to look the judge in the eye, and tell her that War Machine's violence does have victims. He said he was there supporting his friend Matt, and there supporting a girl who reached out to him on Facebook, who said that she was one of War Machine's ex-girlfriends, and is still to this day petrified of him. He said he's also there to support Christy, who had told him about all of the abuse she had endured from War Machine during their relationship. Then he talked about how he thinks War Machine hasn't truly accepted responsibility for what he's done, citing how long this process has taken.
What I am concerned with is how much time the defendant has wasted on 3 years of our life and our time devoted to getting to this point and to still talk about why it's everyone else's fault. It's not. It's his fault. He did it. He's guilty. He tried to kill me. He tried to kill her, and he did what he did. So let's move on with this and let's get a sentence done. And if, in my mind, the minimums don't even apply at this point in time. I mean, come on, let's get realistic. He has the background and he's done it multiple times. Tried to kill me. If the minimums were to apply, then he would have gone after our first deal where we offered, agreed to plead. You did it. But instead, he's wasted everyone's time. And for that reason, I don't think that any minimum should be applying in this situation. And that's my thoughts.
Christy's mom, Erin McInday, spoke next. She said she hadn't originally planned to speak because every time she thinks about this, she gets so mad. She said she grew up abused too, but that she broke the cycle and that it wasn't right for War Machine to blame his parents. She said he needs to spend the rest of his life in jail for hurting her baby. She said this was about more than just her daughter.
Look what he did to my daughter. We can't put him down, but we can put him away where he needs to be. I want my daughter to have a good life. She's changed a lot of ways. She's helped a lot of people. Her and Jacqueline in the DA's office, they made a stand for women. This is bigger than just my daughter now. I think the sentencing, I think it needs to make a statement so that other young girls know that the justice system doesn't always fail.
And then Christy spoke. She said she wrote what she was going to say just the night before because she has been putting it off. She started to cry, saying that it's been a long 3 years and that this will be the last time she speaks about how this has affected her personally. She spoke about her relationship with War Machine, how it started and how it morphed into an abusive one.
I love John, and I know in some way he loved me too. We were far from a conventional couple, an ordinary relationship. We didn't have normal jobs. We didn't keep normal hours. We had the opportunity to spend copious amounts of time together, and we shared nearly every aspect of our lives with the entire world. When we met, I wasn't looking for a relationship or any sort of companionship at all. I was sick the day we worked together. He seemed genuinely concerned for my well-being and continued to check on me for days after. When I felt better, he made plans to come see me in Vegas. And after that, the first 3 months that we were together were beautiful. He was so interesting to me. He was full of energy and so passionate about everything. I was drawn to his tenacity. And John was different from anyone I had ever known. After the first few months, things began to change. It started with just a slap and rapidly became exponentially worse. I had my head split open from somersaulting into a fireplace. I've experienced being lifted by my throat countless times. Choked unconscious or dragged around by my head. I have been punched and kicked, smothered and bitten. I have been raped and tortured. But being suffocated is the worst physical feeling I have ever known. Taking a breath for a scream or a plea for only to be met with a hand over my nose and my mouth, not knowing if or when I will ever be able to breathe again. It's the most terrifying experience of my life, and I was met with this more times than I can account. And I still cry every time I think about how it feels.
She said she flinches whenever anyone puts their hand by her face, and that she holds her breath whenever she hears an unfamiliar voice. She becomes nearly hysterical as she's talking, and she tells the judge, "I apologize." And Judge Kadish tells her, "There's no need to apologize." Christy then talked about how this still affects her to this day.
Now I feel uncomfortable around men, or really people in general. I don't leave my house unaccompanied if at all possible. I have shortened my list to about 5 trusted people, so that means not leaving my house for days or weeks at a time. I began going to the gym recently and got a trainer as a way to try and get me out of my house. Because I know that's not a way to live. I order most of my food in so I can avoid any social interaction. I would say I do these things because I feel generally safer in my house, but that's not true. I've had the police come out more than once for not knowing if the noise I heard was something benign, was somebody trying to kill me. I can't function in a normal way daily anymore. I don't see my friends, and I don't build healthy relationships. My family has noticed a difference in me and have experienced their own changes.
She said this whole experience has changed her mother, too.
My mother moved to Las Vegas with me when I came from Indiana. She lived with me and watched my relationship with John from beginning to end. When I went to the hospital, she truly felt responsible and blamed herself for not reporting the abuse that she had witnessed. As I laid in the hospital bed, she came and I told her not to cry. I hadn't seen myself, but I knew that I was bloody. From that day, we both lost about 30 pounds each. We both became instantly afraid of our surroundings, and we never truly felt safe again. Over the years, I've tried to regain my independence. I live alone now, and with an advanced security system, and I get to travel sometimes, so I'm never alone. If I go more than 12 hours without speaking to my mother, she fears the worst. She has to make sure that I haven't been forcibly taken and beaten again. I would say it's an irrational fear, but after years of being told he would send people after me, or if I ever told someone, I don't feel like it's such a stretch.
Christy said the abuse that she's endured online, on social media, from War Machine's fans in particular, hasn't let up.
Since the day I was able to see the screen on my tablet, I was met with messages and emails detailing what he should have done to me. I was told he should have finished the job and killed me. I was told I was nothing but a whore, and I got what I deserved. It was widely believed and even implied by the defense team that it wasn't that bad and I was just doing it for attention. The tweets came in droves of how others should beat and rape me since he hadn't completed his task. I live in constant fear of these things coming to fruition. And others acting on his belief that he has done nothing wrong.
Christy said the only positive thing that has come from this experience is all the people that she's been able to help. She said she's received so many letters, emails, and messages from women who say that they've been abused too, and who thank her for standing up to her abuser.
But I took those letters and I took it as a sign that I could truly help others with my experiences. Years later now, people tell me how much seeing my story unfold and seeing me stand up to my abuser has helped them. I can't tell you how many women, men, and even children have reached out asking for resources or advice. Some just want to be heard and share their hardships with someone who understands. This is something that motivates me every day and makes me continue to share my life, even when it becomes nearly unbearable. It's hard to tell people how much it hurts to read the cruel things that people say to me every day. How hard it is dealing with triggers or even being alone in my own home. I don't get to share my true thoughts or feelings a lot or talk about the ways this has affected me personally. I feel that I have to stay strong for everyone that watches me and draws inspiration to leave their abusive situation and find ways to move on. Every day is a chance to try and improve myself, work towards my mental health, and improve my relationships with everyone around me. I am still a work in progress.
Christy then addressed the sentencing.
Now, I don't know how long he deserves to be in prison. I don't know how much time would make me feel good or would make me feel right. When we were in talks before the trial even began with the plea deals, Mrs. Bluth had asked me if 16 years felt sufficient. As she has mentioned, we both took a minute and I thought about it and said I could live a really good life in 16 years. How do you really put a time on a life well lived? I don't know if my life will feel complete in 12 years, or 20 years, or even 30 years. Neither do you. But I do know when I get out, when he gets out, he will kill me.
She said his sentencing is not her decision, but that she has trusted the justice system throughout this entire ordeal.
I would really like to be able to say to everyone that they can trust in the justice system and they should pursue charges against their abuser. There are so many people, women and men alike, that don't go the justice route and just let things take their course. And I want them to know that there is justice out there and it is good to see. Thank you.
War Machine stood up to hear his sentence. Judge Kadish said she spent a lot of time reading the letters and looking at all of the information. She said his childhood is truly sad and that it gives a clearer picture of how we got here and that she appreciates having that information to assist her in her decision. She told War Machine that she doesn't think he's a monster, that he's done a lot of good things in this world, but that there has to be consequences for what happened, and she has to look out for the community and make sure that there are no future victims. A substantial sentence is warranted, she said. She then sentenced him to 36 years to life, meaning that he'll be eligible for parole when he's 71 years old. After the hearing, Christy posted a photo of a purple ribbon on her Instagram, signifying domestic violence awareness. She wrote, "Today, I finally get to put a close to a very dark chapter in my life. Thank you all for your positivity and love throughout my journey. It has not been an easy few years, and I value all of your support. I could not have seen this through to the end without knowing that all of this pain is not without purpose. My DMs and email have always been and will continue to be available if you find yourself in need of help or support. Reach out. Believe them when they do reach out. If you hear something, speak out. You are not alone." And that's all for this case update. If you or someone you know is suffering from domestic violence, call 1-800-799-7233 or visit thehotline.org. And we already have a lively discussion about this case going on in our Court Junkie discussion group on Facebook, so be sure to join the group and check that out at courtjunkie.com/Facebook. And as a reminder, you can also follow me on Twitter at courtjunkiepod, on Instagram at courtjunkie, or you can always email me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.